racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome back in the grill room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bupka here with St. Louis golf icon, and I mean icon, Jay Randolph Jr. He's also known as the STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, Jay, we talked a lot about Tiger Woods during the last decade. It's well documented that, you know, he's had his troubles and, you know, ups and downs. But, you know, right now, it's actually a pleasure to be able to focus on the good side of Tiger. Let's call it the upside, the positive side of this incredibly talented individual.
Well, Bob, you and I both consider ourselves very lucky to have been able to be around him, you getting to know him better than I did, but having a sense of the type of golfer he was. I think, you know, we've talked about it before. You don't know how low things got. I mean, they got as low as they could. And to be in a position where we had what happened at the Tour Championship and then vaulted to the Masters, and then what we saw in the first PGA Tour event ever in Japan. This is great for our game. And you know, he's won three times since he's been back, and one of them's a major.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff, Jay. And as you alluded to, you and I did know Tiger, still know Tiger, and I always share – you know, there was so much negative talk about Tiger for, you know, a lot of different reasons. People can have their own reason, whether they liked him or didn't like him. But I, you know, when asked quite often, you know, what's the real Tiger like? And I always go back to one story because we used to cover the Tiger World Challenge, which they're playing this week down in the Bahamas, but it used to be in California. And
right.
Janice and I would go there and actually got to meet Wayne Gretzky there. He had a house. He was quite a colorful character. I didn't go one year. I had to go into the hospital back in New York, some routine tests, nothing serious. And Tiger saw Janice, and he said, Janice, where's Bob? And Janice said, well, he couldn't make it this year. Tiger, he's in the hospital, but just routine tests. He's fine. Tiger said, get him on the phone. And I'm laying in a bed in New York, and the phone rings in my hospital room. I pick it up. I said, hello, and I hear, how you doing, man? And I said, what? He says, how you doing, man? I said, who is this? He said, it's Tiger. I said, damn, Tiger, you trying to give me a heart attack? And he said, no, I'm just checking to make sure you're all right, my man. I said, well, I'm fine. Thank you very much for the phone call. I hang up. There's a nurse there. I said, well, that was Tiger Woods. And she didn't even say anything to me. She runs out of the room. Within a minute, Jay, in comes a doctor.
They're all coming in.
Yeah, and a doctor comes in and said, Mr. Bupka, the nurse thinks you might be a little delusional. So he questioned me.
Well, for our listeners that don't know, he flat out liked you. I mean, for people that don't know, he would always say, hey, Bobby, or after an interview, you got it, Bobby. He didn't do that with everybody. He'd just say, okay, or thanks, or whatever. He had an affinity for you, and I'm sure he still does. And, you know, that's why I think one of the reasons I appreciated him so much was because the way he was around you and a couple other people that we knew. And, you know, it's no matter what you think of him, I mean, you can't debate the talent, the success, I mean, the incredible success. And, you know, at this point, I don't care whether you think he's 1, 2, 3, or 8. I still go by the motto that nobody's ever played the game like Tiger Woods. They may be coming, but I never saw anybody play the way he did for stretches.
Yeah, and you always said that. I admired your keen eye. You were quite a stick in your day. So you recognized the unbelievable talent that Tiger possessed to, you know, hit golf shots that no, the fact that he could hit golf shots that nobody else could hit,
right,
was the was really the fact that he saw golf shots that nobody else saw. I mean, that's what really elevated him to, you know, one of the best. I mean, we can argue forever, Jay. It's, you know, still it's Jack 1, Tiger 2. We'll see if it stays that way. But, you know, that's the way it is in my book right now.
Well, and I understand that. A lot of people use the measuring stick as major championships, as they should and as we've created. So if that means he's got to get to 18 or get to 17 to go with his three USAMs the way Jack likes to do it, I don't care. I just know that when he's in the mix, it's good for golf. And that's what you and I do. I do it now, you know, on a daily basis at a public golf course where we're trying to fight and get players. And we're more likely to have them on a Monday if Tiger Woods was in the mix on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how it filters down. Anyway, let's get on with this show. We'll get to the President's Cup later on in this broadcast. But this week, it is in the Bahamas for the Hero World Challenge. This is one of Tiger's big weeks, actually, Jay, to raise money for his Tiger Woods Foundation. The Hero World Challenge being played in the Bahamas where Tiger keeps his boat. I got a chuckle. They just showed it a little bit on Golf Channel. But, you know, not last year, but the year before at the U.S. Open, he brought his boat out to the end of Long Island, actually Sag Harbor, where I was born and raised, and he had it parked in the marina. And his boat's 197 feet long, okay? 197 feet long. And that summer, between July 1st and September 1st, 2 months, Tiger's boat, or Tiger's yacht, was not even in the top 50 of the largest yachts to park in the Sag Harbor Marina. And I made fun of it during the press conference saying, Tiger, I don't know, you know, you may not want to come back to Sag Harbor with that little little rowboat that you're in there. And he got a big chuckle out of that. But, you know, it's called privacy, and that's what Tiger uses it for. It is complete privacy. As I mentioned, Jay, big week for the Tiger Woods Foundation. And let's give a listen right now as Tiger explains the importance of what his foundation does.
Well, events like this, it allows us to show the world exactly what we're doing. We're based in STEM. Still, I think some people probably think we're still a golf-based foundation, but we're not. We're educational-based, and to help underserved youth and to have them involved in our STEM program. It's free online learning. We teach educators, we teach students, and I think that it's exciting for us right now because of our new digital platform that we're able to help now over a million kids in the United States, and we're going to have some incredible partners next year, and we're going to expand this internationally and grow globally, so it'll be millions of kids that will be impacted through our STEM learning programs.
Can you imagine that, Jay? Over a million kids, and they have massive plans for more expansion.
Yeah, the worldwide growth is phenomenal. I mean, you don't look over that lightly. Think about affecting the lives of a million youngsters. I mean, or having the opportunity to do that. You know, Earl, Obi-Wan, as I called him, his father, Earl Woods, always felt like there'd be more after golf or there would be something. And I think, in essence, they created it with the foundation. And I'm glad Tiger pointed out. I mean, this ain't the first tee. This is an organization that's primary goal is to help with advancement knowledge-wise. Golf is secondary. And it's obviously very important to him. And he probably doesn't get enough credit for all that he has done. But that comes with the territory.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other charity that's going to be benefiting this week, and I think it's great, Jay, the One Bahamas Fund. Of course, everybody knows the massive destruction Hurricane Dorian had on the Bahamas, and Tiger has it set up. $500 going to be donated for each birdie, $1,000 for an eagle, $2,500 for a hole-in-one made by the players during the competitive rounds. Of course, this tournament is Wednesday through Saturday, and they did that for a very good reason, Jay. On Saturday, the United States President's Cup team will be getting on the Big Bird to head down toward Australia. It's quite a long flight. I have made it a couple of times, and I think once from L.A. to Melbourne, Australia, I think I got to watch seven movies. So,
yeah, I am jealous. You have gotten to go down under, and even more as you've talked about your time in New Zealand and the beauty of that. 11 of Tiger and 10 of his team members are playing, all but Dustin Johnson. I don't know whether DJ will fly in and fly out with them from there, but you've also got Jordan Spieth, Bubba Watson, Kevin Kisner, who I think should have made the team rather than Ricky. No shot at Ricky, but I would have liked to see Kis make it. Chez Reavy, who replaced DJ. And plus, Bob, you've got three Euros teeing it up. The defending champ, John Rahm, off the race for Dubai W. Justin Rose, who loves playing down there. And Henrik Stenson. Should be a fun event. Should be a nice tune-up for the American guys to also start a little camaraderie a couple of days early.
Yeah, good point, Jay. And, you know, when I hear the names Rahm, Rose, Stenson, and I think of the total domination for so many years recently by the, you know, United States squad that used to dominate in the Ryder Cup. Now they haven't been doing that well, and boy, when you look at those names, it's going to be quite a dogfight when we get to, you know, Cola, Wisconsin, late in September of 2020. What a year 2020 is going to be. We'll have a lot to talk about that, there's no doubt. But John Rahm getting married, we want to offer him some congratulations there too.
I hope he can afford the ring.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. He's quite a player, and I have to give you credit. You spotted him.
You saw
him early on. There was something about his action that you really liked, and said that there's a winner, and he is certainly every bit of that.
Let's take a short break so Bob can talk about how he'll be in Talcott for the official accommodation partner in the Grew Room. You guessed it, out in Maui, where they'll just be, you know, smothered in happiness and good weather at the Century Tournament of Champions. And when we come back, we'll learn more about the new Tiger Woods. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
The Capilore Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Capilore Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. So glad to have you with us on all the various platforms. You can find Bob on Twitter. He's not as active as he should be. Bob Bubka, VOG. That VOG is for the Voice of Golf. I'm probably more active than I should be. I'm STL Golf Geek on Twitter, and you can check that out. And Bob, we talked about your relationship with Tiger in our previous segment, and it's been tough to really get to know Tiger Woods, the person. You know, from that GQ interview early on, he got gun shy of dealing with the media unless he was comfortable with that person like he was with you. You know, it's always been tough to figure out what made him tick, what has made him one of the two or three greatest golfers of all time, and can he do it again?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. It certainly appears that he can. I knew his dad, Earl, you know, actually very well. I was very fortunate to get on the Tiger Woods bandwagon very early on in his career. And believe me, I've chased him at more golf tournaments than I care to remember just to get that little interview. And sometimes
I think it was Janice chasing and you just kind of follow him.
No, she was chasing me and I'm chasing Tiger. And I'd swear, Jay, he'd turn around and see it was me chasing. He'd speed up just a little to see if he can outrun me. But he was always good, and I expect a lot of good things from him in the future. I think 2020 is going to be a very interesting year. It's going to be hard to, you know, really get a gauge on Tiger. A lot of people are saying that he's different now. Yep. Matter of fact, he was asked that question, and Tiger had this to say.
As far as the fire to kick everyone's butt, that hasn't changed. but it's how I go about it. You know, I think that's probably the difference. You know, I'm so appreciative to have this opportunity again because I didn't think that I would. So yeah, you probably see a different side of me than you normally would, but when it comes right to it, right down to it, as far as executing and trying to win, that hasn't changed. I'm having a great time. I'm having a blast to be able to play golf and to do something I love to do. I know I'm not going to do it forever. I know that the end of the road is a lot closer than it used to be when I first turned pro. So I'm very appreciative of having this opportunity again. And you know, to be honest with you, to make the teams like I did this year and hopefully next year and I did last year, you know, that it means a lot because obviously you're one of the top players to play well and to get on these teams. And that's something that I've always tried to do my entire career by winning golf tournaments. That allows me to get on teams and it validates the year and just have great experiences.
You know, that interview coming courtesy of Golf Channel, one contribution that Tiger made to the sport of golf, specifically involving the media, and I'm sure our listeners are not aware of this, Tiger created on his own the 18th hole,
the flash.
The post round interview prior to Tiger Woods. Anybody that did well in a tournament was invited up to the media room, which was all set up where you could sit down and get good sound and good access to the players. Suddenly, one day, Tiger said, or actually Mark Steinberg said, it's Tiger's manager, Tiger's not coming into the media room, but he will address media people behind the 18th green. And that became known as the 18th hole interview. Then players saw that Tiger didn't have to go to the media room. The first to flex their muscles along those lines, Phil Mickelson. He said, well, I'm not going to the media room, but I'll meet behind the 18th green. And I think it's pretty tough because the tournament sets up a media room to try and accommodate, get the quality sound, great access. And when you have to scramble to go down to the 18th green, behind the green, it's noisy, there's fans, there's a lot of things. I'm positive if you took a vote of the media, that's one contribution to the sport that media would say we would have preferred if that never had happened.
You know, I'm glad you brought it up because a lot of people may not realize that. They may just think, oh, well, that's how they've been doing things. Golf's a traditional sport. You're exactly right. I mean, a guy would play his round, he'd sign his scorecard, he might get something to eat real quick and then drag him to the media center. Tiger said, And I think part of it was, you know, if he had a bad round, he's still going to be requested to come to the media center. I mean, he was going to be requested. He should have gotten a place at the media center because he's going to be asked every day. So, you know, that is one of the unique changes. It was also interesting, Bob, to hear him, just the way he talks about it. It's not as intense or as important maybe as it once was. He's got a family, he's enjoying being around guys, but when that light goes on or when that ball goes on the peg on day one, it's all starting again and he wants to beat the rest of those guys. So I think age, the experiences, the rise, the dramatic fall, the fact that I think he's been flat out humbled by life and sport. And he wasn't a guy that got humbled very often. He's a better person today, Bob. He may not be a better golfer. He's a better person.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Jay. And part of that problem, he only knew one way to win. And that was, you know, if he had you down, he's going to put his foot on your throat. And that's easy to do if you're not friendly the entire week. But that's a little tougher to do if you've been friendly with a particular player all week and then all of a sudden you're going head-to-head with him on Sunday. That's what we're going to have to wait and see. And, boy, you know,
Bob, as you well know, it wasn't like he was dismissal of his playing partners. I think they all would tell you he had a wonderful professional way about how he played the game and interacted with them. I mean, he's not going to walk down the he wasn't walking down the fairway in 99 talking about where the other guy might go to dinner that night. But that might be something he might do now. It's been a fascinating study of an individual to see all the things that have happened, all the success, and all some of the downfall. He's a unique individual. If you don't think he's the greatest player in the game, he probably is the greatest known player in the game.
Yeah, and you brought up a great point a little while ago, and I want to reiterate what you said. Players, it was traditional, if they had a good round, they'd be invited to the media room. And we alluded to the fact that Tiger started doing a lot of his interviews behind the 18th green. And you brought up because if Tiger didn't have a good round, they still wanted him to go to the media room. And that was not asked of any other player. So Tiger said, hey, let's keep it fair. I'll do it down here. And that's how that evolved. So it wasn't a case of, you know, all Tiger's fault. I mean, he was being asked too many times to come to the media room. He made it a little easier on himself by doing it behind the 18th green.
Bob, we want to wish a happy birthday to the Merry Mex, the great Lee Buck Trevino. He turned 80 this week in 1984. 3 weeks before the PGA Championship, I played golf with him at the Golden Horseshoe in Williamsburg. Front nine, he shoots 38. I was 15. I shot 39. I looked at my dad. I said, well, he's done. He missed a putt for 29 on the backside, and 3 weeks later, he won the PGA. You talk about a guy that liked to compete, Bob. The Merry Mex could get after it.
Winner of six majors. Sometimes I think he doesn't get the credit that he deserves. And, boy, I know one thing. He's turning 80, but he's sure happy he beat you by one shot. Had he had you chopped him, he may never have gone on the professional golf.
There would have been no Shoal Creek.
All right, CBS, Jay.
There is news coming out of CBS. I think the biggest thing for a lot of people is the fact that Michelle Wee is going to join the crew. Now, we know she's going to do the Masters, and that may be her lone event. We'll see, depending on her LPGA availability. But that's a big change, having a gal cover the Masters. It just is, and having it be Michelle Wee. Trevor Immelman, his brother Mark, does some stuff already, and he'll be involved. My man, Frank Nabilo, the best in the business, a guy who's lived it, played it, and gets it. He's going to be more involved. And, of course, Dottie Pepper will be the primary on-course reporter with Peter Costas going away. And if you don't like Dottie Pepper, well, just don't talk to me.
Well, my man Jay, big fan of Dottie Pepper. Kind of interesting about Dottie Pepper during her playing days. She really wasn't media friendly, basically shy, very talented, and then now has really escalated in the ranks of CBS. I like her. I think she does good work, and now she's going to be the lead announcer. Should be interesting to witness what comes out from those CBS cameras. Well, Jay, one more thing. I'd like to hear Tiger talk about his role in the upcoming President's Cup. Yes, he's going to be a player and a captain, but how exactly is that going to work? I mean, he has to be able to focus on his own game when he's playing, and so he really can't give advice to any other players, can he? Well, maybe better yet, let's listen to Tiger as he gives us all the details.
Well, I think that's the communication of it. Is that, you know, the guys know that I'm going to be responsible for the points that when I am playing, and I'm at the focus and do my job. We have three great vice captains. We'll have one of them be the captain, and I'm still waiting for the tour to tell me when that happens, whether or not when do I relinquish the captaincy role and officially have someone be the captain, because that's the captain's the only one who can receive and give advice. The vice captains can receive advice, but they can't give advice to the players or even the caddies. So trying to figure that out now. And then also when do I play? Still trying to figure that out too. So there's a lot of moving parts to it. All the players know that, the vice captains know it. We're going down there as a team to get it done together. And when I'm out there playing, I'm responsible for that point. But when I'm not, I'm responsible for the whole team. And it's something that is going to be a lot of fun for all of us.
You know, it's really funny. You come in on the end of that discussion. I mean, three vice captains. It sounds like they're planning strategy somehow to get to Mars. And let me give you a grill room alert. After the President's Cup is over, one captain is going to be said to have been a magnificent captain. The other captain is going to be labeled a poor captain. And guess what? The winning captain will be good. The losing captain will not be good. And more than likely, now you can listen to the press conferences after the matches are over, and I almost guarantee you the losing captain is going to have this theory about why his team lost. And it's not very earth-shattering, but I've heard it many, many times, both in Ryder Cup and President's Cup. You're going to hear the losing captain say, well, they just made more putts than we did. And then, of course, Jay, we're all pretty eager to know just what kind of captain Tiger's going to be. I mean, can he be the boss? Or can he be one of the boys? Really doesn't matter. I mean, whoever plays the best golf is certainly going to win. Traditionally, captains have been older players. In fact, Tiger's only the second playing captain on the President's Cup team. The first time was the first event, which was in 1994, and Hale Irwin served in dual roles. He was a member of the team, and he was also a captain. It hadn't been done since, but it's going to be done down in Australia. So let's hear from Tiger as he explains his plans for being a President's Cup captain as well as being a playing President's Cup player.
More than anything, it's been about communication, and I've stressed this the entire time. Be open and honest. Be frank with me. And I've had a lot of offline conversations with all the players, and just be frank with me. It'll remain in a lockbox. It's between you and I. If you want to share with the team, share with the team. If you don't, then it's between us. And I just wanted their honest opinion. And some of the things that we've been able to acquiesce and mold things into, you know, different things, and we've been able to do, and other things that we've had to talk it through. So I just appreciate the guys' honesty. That's what I want. I'm trying to help them be in the best possible position to go earn points. That's how we win cups. And I want them to have a great, memorable experience to come in together. We're never going to have this team again. And every team I've been on, that's one time. You're never going to have the same 12 guys again. So this is the 2019 President's Cup team. So enjoy it, be a part of it. And I just want them to go out there and just have the time of their lives doing something that we all love to do, which is compete and play, and do something we don't get a chance to do very often, which is play for something bigger than just ourselves.
And my only wish is that it be competitive. When I look at the numbers, average world ranking of the United States team, 12. Average world ranking international team is 40. That's quite a mountain to overcome for Ernie Els. All right, we're going to take a break in a minute, but first, I want you to listen to Jay Randolph as he tells us about one of the great golf courses in America, the Normandy Golf Club in St. Louis. And then we'll answer the question, where in the world is MorningRead.com's Alex Miceli? You're not going to believe it.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, Stitcher, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you could just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Kapalua Villas Maui is the official hotel partner of the Grill Room Golf Show during the Century Tournament of Champions, held each January at the Plantation Course. Yes, I know it's snowing in some parts of the U.S. Yes, I know it's cold and miserable. And yes, we thought you might like to hear from General Manager Bill Reese on the advantages of choosing Kapalua Villas Maui for your next vacation.
We've got the weather, we've got the beach, we've got the golf course, we've got the palm trees, we have properties facing the golf course, if that's your cup of tea, where you can actually watch the golfers on the fairway. We have properties in the ridge, which is high on the hill, so you can get a very panoramic ocean view of Molokai and the tropical environment. And also we have the bay villas, which are right down by the Onaloa Bay, which is oceanfront. Fully equipped kitchens in every condo, washer, dryer, and there is a refrigerator freezer, so you can have that ice cream at midnight without having to go out. We've got the friendly people and the aloha. There's not much more you could ask for.
Once again, welcome back to In the Grill Room. I'm Bob Bupker, alongside of Jay Randolph Jr. And Jay, he's an old friend, but he's coming to us from a very exotic place. I can honestly say I've never talked to anybody that's at Kings Island, and I hear our listeners saying, Kings Island, where's that? Well, I think it's midway between Tasmania and Australia. How is Kings Island, Alex?
Well, I'm up at the very top at Cape Wickham, Bob, and the 3 days I've been here so far on Tasmania and now on Kings Island, it has been blowing a hoolie, as they used to say. I mean, it has been so windy, and it's the beginning of summer, and you would never know it's the beginning of summer here. But that being said, the whole place is tremendous. It's such an interesting experience, both in Tasmania and now in Kings Island.
What about the food? Is it drastically different? The language, I assume, is English, so that shouldn't be a problem. If you had to pick something unique about Kings Island, what would that be?
Well, I'll give you a good example. I drove from the airport, which is about 40 kilometers away, to Cape Wickham this morning, about 8:39 o'clock this morning. I ran into two cars. So it is an island that is basically, it's basically farmland with a lot of cattle, and that's what it is. But at the same time, you see all these dunes, all of the sand dunes everywhere. I mean, Mike Kaiser, who developed Bandon Dunes, would drool if he came here because there's so, I mean, every place you look, there's a golf course. Every place you look, not that there's physically made a golf course, but you could make a golf course because the land is such that it just, it lends itself to being, you know, having a golf course. And then obviously the I'm sitting right now looking out at the lighthouse at Cape Wickham, and all I see is ocean or golf course, and it is just beautiful.
We're chatting with Alex Maselli, coming to us from down under at Kings Island. Are there a lot of resorts there? Do people go there to play golf, or what motivates anybody to go to Kings Island?
Well, I think it's going to be the golf now. There's not really, I think, and I have to confirm this, but I believe this is what he just said to me. I was talking to the guy in the pro shop. He said there's about 1,500 inhabitants of Kings Island that live here permanently, and that's it. So there's not much going on here, but they just built a brand new airport, which is about 4 years old, very nice. You come in on a prop jet, and the rental car is kind of like what I did the rental car. I had sent a note back and forth to the guy, and he's like, okay, do you want this kind of used car or this kind of used car? And then different pricing. And it's, everything is just, it's like you're going back, you know, maybe 30 or 40 years when you come here. It's such a unique experience in that way. And I don't think it's ever going to really change that much because it's just not one of those places that's going to be like that. But they have two really good golf courses here. I know there's a third, which I'm not going to get a chance to play, but there's two really good golf courses here. So I'm going to go out on Cape Wickham this morning and then go out on the other course in the afternoon. But, you know, it's going to be a golf destination, and it's not very far from Melbourne, which makes it equally a great idea to have as a golf destination.
What currency do they use there, Alex?
You know, Bobby, they use the Australian dollar, which I have not gotten any yet, because the way the world is today, you can use your card anywhere. And if you don't have to convert money, why would you? So I haven't so far. And I've been here, that's my third day, so it's worked out pretty well. But the Australian dollar is like, I don't know, it's like 60 to 65 cents to the U.S. dollar. So when you see the pricing, you have to convert in your head, you know, the difference. And so that means that at 10 Australian, you're looking at about $6.50. So it's usually not too bad.
Kind of ironic that I'm having Alex Maselli tell me that he's been someplace 3 days and he hadn't spent any money. That's the Alex I know
I
for sure.
I didn't spend any money, Bobby. I didn't say I didn't spend any money. I just didn't convert any money.
I see. So real quick, because we can't take up, we can't afford this phone call, number one, all the way down to Kings Island. A round of golf at Kings Island, try and convert it to U.S. dollars. What would it cost somebody?
Well, at Cape Wickham, it's something like, I think, 175 Australian. So you're looking at a little around 100 or so, 115. But that's an all-day fee, which you can't beat that. And then that's if you're staying here. And then, you know, one of the good things about both these courses as you get older, which I am, is the fact that they actually have golf carts. So you can drive a golf cart, which makes it a lot easier, because when it's really windy and it's cooler and it's a lot up and down, you know, as you get older, it's very hard to do. So they have golf carts here, which I think is tremendous. And every view, every hole on this golf course has a view of the water.
Well, I want to thank you. I have had the pleasure now of speaking with somebody when they were at Kings Island. The only thing I have to compare, I was doing something for another outlet, and the person that was throwing it to me, I was told, was in North Korea. And they said, let's go from here in North Korea, let's go to Bob Bupker in New York. So now I got Alex Maselli in Kings Island. Boy, the world is getting awfully small. You have a good time down there, my friend. Stay safe and play some good golf.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.